So, seeing it, recognizing what was happening, recognizing that economic collapse is on the way, you can either take action or you can hang back and hope for a miracle. And miracles are so unpredictable. So I took action. I'm going to describe that action today and put it into context with respect to Austin. So I'm going to try to talk about durable living arrangements and the hope or hopelessness of doing that in Austin or maybe in the Central Texas area. I was looking for five things when I began my three-year search for a place to live outside of the city, a place with an elevation that didn't get life-threateningly hot or life-threateningly cold. And so I landed in the southwestern United States at 4,600 feet. I was looking for a place with shallow water. Groundwater there is 20 feet down. And deep soils, and we landed in a place that has more than 20 feet of unsorted alluvium. In a rural area, as it turns out, we have fewer than 500 people within 3 miles of us, within one tank of gas of Tucson. And we landed about 200 miles away. Now, that last one is necessary because almost everybody I know thinks I'm insane. In fact, I gave a similar talk to this one 4 months ago in Silver City, New Mexico. And one of my colleagues from a university sent me an email message after that and said, by the way, everybody who knows you thinks you're insane. It's not just the faculty at the University of Arizona. It's spread throughout every college in the country. And in fact, there's a reason for it. Apparently, I have this rare brain disease. Now, there's this whole story behind it that they made up to explain my insanity. So I have this rare brain disease. That's why my wife wouldn't move from Tucson to live with me 200 miles away. So she still lives in a rental house. That's why we have to be within a tank of gas drive. Because I strongly suspect when Detroit comes to Tucson, or worse, that we won't have two tanks of gas to get where we need to go. So the southwestern U.S. is one of the worst places I can imagine to try to muddle through given climate change. But it's where we are. In fact, it's where we all are. So if we're going to try to deal with climate change and also with energy decline, we might have to deal with doing that locally. Okay, if we're to thrive in the post-carbon era, and that's my goal, I don't want to merely survive, holed up in my bunker, guns left over from when I was 14 and I hunted. Not sure I know how to shoot straight. We're going to have to ensure these four things. Water, we need to secure our water, we need to secure our food supply locally, we need to maintain our body temperature at about 37 degrees C. And most people think number four is going to be defense, those guns. I think it's human community, and I think they're the same thing. So I'm going to talk about two of those, because I'm going to try to keep this brief, even though it's too late for that. And because I just want to give a taste for where we're headed here. So I'm going to focus on food security and human community. So on our property, which my wife and I share with another couple and their 7-year-old son, we couldn't afford to do this ourselves, so we went together with other people. In addition, we wouldn't have wanted to. Community begins at home. I didn't want to have this one family and a home kind of relationship like we've had for 50 or 60 or 10,000 years in this country, who can keep track. I wanted to have a community closer to me than that. So, Mike and Carol and Hawk, yes, his name is Hawk. I'm partnered with naturalists. There's nothing better than that. When Hawk was 2, I knew him when he was 2. He had a snake wrapped around his wrist, a dead snake, for like a week. You know, if I'd done that when I was a kid, my mom would have freaked out. Oh, it's so dirty, there's germs, blah, blah, blah. His parents thought it was cool. What a great bracelet. This is being part of the world. The kid's name is Hawk. He spoke 4 languages. Before he said mama, he said 4 bird calls. The first of them was a kestrel, of course. Dead on. Perfect name for a kid like Hawk. So in any event, I digress, and I'll do that now and then. We're growing a bunch of our own food, so we have these beds like you see on the panel on the left. Pocket gophers. We have pocket gophers. Quadrillions and quadrillions of pocket gophers. Can't keep them out. So I excavate all the soil out of the bed down to 18 inches, put in a basket of hardware cloth. Hardware cloth is like chicken wire, only with tighter mesh and stronger wire. Put a basket on the bottom and on the sides, and then fill it back in with soil again, heavily amended with compost, because it's almost all rock that I pull out of there anyway. I mentioned it was unsorted alluvium, but really it's unsorted rock with a teaspoon or so of soil. So we make these big planting beds, and we also have cold frames, such as the one you see on the right. Now, bear in mind that when I started this project, roughly 2 years ago, I could barely distinguish between a screwdriver and a zucchini. And that tells you everything you need to know about my building skills as well as my growing skills. So I'm a lifelong academic. I went from high school to undergraduate school to master's, master's, PhD, PhD to postdoc, postdoc to first academic job, tenure track job, never even took a breath, didn't know anything about how to do anything. You know, they give you a teaching job, you don't even know how to teach. You don't know anything. I did that for 20 years, and then I left, and I realized, I can't do anything. What the hell am I doing? And we made all this stuff. My partners and I were similarly challenged on the physical front. I made this cold frame. I made it badly, as it turns out. So I didn't put enough pitch on the roof. So in the winter, when the sun is low in the sky, it wasn't getting enough light in there. So I had to cut holes in it. I had to cut windows in it. Put plexiglass on the front to let more light in. And I had to put insulation, silver insulation all the way around the inside so light would bounce around in there. So I made it badly, but I'm learning. We have a bee box because the world is in colony collapse disorder. The bees are dying, as you can read just about anywhere now. So we want to have our own pollinators on site. We have a little greenhouse kit we got from a neighbor. And my pride and joy from a building perspective, awning number 12 on the property turned into two awnings, one for straw bales, one for hay bales, a subterranean root cellar. This is a high humidity root cellar. And a partially subterranean straw bale greenhouse. Remember, zucchini, screwdriver? I made that. I made that by myself. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I meant to tell you at the beginning, the standing ovations are welcome at any time. Don't hold back. So half of this structure is below ground. That ensures that we maintain the heat of the earth in the winter. Got down to 2 below 0 Fahrenheit this winter. And we also maintain the cool of the earth in the summertime. It gets up to 105 in the summertime. Lots of windows facing south, a skylight on top. Look at that, I put in a skylight. Of course, the first time I put the roof in, I forgot the skylight. There you go. Oh, parts left over. Oh. Anyway, the goal is to grow citrus. Gets down to 2 below 0, you can't grow citrus in that. But I think we can. That'll be the goal anyway. And of course we have chickens, because everybody has chickens. They're so sociable, it's unbelievable. Ducks, on the other hand, are world-class stupid and not at all sociable. They're wild animals. You can't even take a picture. They're always running away. Look at that. Blurry all the time. And they're stupid. How stupid are they? I knew you'd ask.
Stupid chickens.
They are way stupid. Chickens are Einsteinian in comparison. It's truly unbelievable. We had the ducks for a year and a half before they discovered that 15 feet from our property is an irrigation ditch 12 feet wide that flows year-round. Year and a half to discover water, and they're waterfowl. Now they go to the ditch every day. They eat there all day. We never have to feed them. They eat in the ditch all day. They come back. They lay eggs, two of which were frozen this last week by the time we got them out. Whew, that's cold, but they're fine. They're wild animals. Oh, and we have goats. I milk goats now. That's me. Milking a goat named Coco. And so we produce eggs. We produce eggs. It's like saying we produce oil. We extract eggs. We extract milk in exchange for feed. We get all kinds of fun and games from our goats. We birthed 8 kids on the property last February. That was pretty cool. In 72 hours, triplets, triplets, and twins within 72 hours. Wow. It's great fun. Remember, zucchini, screwdriver,